Well, while RB Plat was largely able to shrug off the impact of COVID-19 thus far, it's been a slippery slope for the oil market as the pandemic continues to dent fuel demand. After the biggest gain in 2 weeks, investors are cautious as they price in potential additional OPEC supply into the market. Senior market analyst at OANDA, Craig Earlham, joins us now to make sense of all the moving parts at play. Thanks so much, Craig, for joining us this evening. So as economic data starts coming through, some highlighting that it's hinting at analyst models catching up with actual economic conditions and undermining the scope for any upside surprises to growth momentum. Where does that leave any potential for oil to move higher?
What we have to contend with here is that oil is now back at sustainable levels. $40 a barrel isn't ideal, and many of the oil majors and many of the major oil producers around the world will want to see oil closer to $60 a barrel. And I think that's very much going to be on their minds when it comes to raising production over the course of the coming months going into the end of the year. But I think at $40 a barrel, a lot of them are a lot more sustainable, and I think that's really important. We've seen US output also fall quite dramatically over the course of the last 4 or 5 months, and I think that will factor into these decision-making process as well. As you've already alluded to, some of the data which we are seeing has been a lot more encouraging. Even Monday, the PMI data we saw for the manufacturing sector suggested that we are starting to see many economies around the world see that kind of improvement, seeing people return to work, and that will only encourage oil producers to start to scale back. It's all going to be about the pace of those of that scaling back that's going to be important. And I don't think any of the producers are going to want to undermine oil at the current levels. They will want to see it gradually moving back towards that $60 a barrel level. What they have to be careful with is similar to what they had, the issues that they had to contend with earlier this year, and that is the prospect of a second wave. If we see a second wave, just as they're dramatically ramping up production as they did earlier on this year, you will see a dramatic fall in prices once again. But I think they are going to have learned these lessons. They know that a second wave is going to be possible. They're seeing what's happening in the US right now. And I think they're going to take a much more cautious approach to this than they did in the past. And therefore, I don't think we're going to see massive declines in oil prices, or certainly it doesn't seem that way right now. And I think this is going to be a very managed process. I say for the next 6 months, but really we're talking the next 12 to 18 months.
What we are seeing, though, is OPEC and its allies stepping up output this month. It's adding, 1.5 million barrels a day off supply. What does that potentially start doing to inventories, which remain near historical highs in the U.S., especially if you've got that second wave risk factor, playing back of mind here, and the problem of insufficient storage capacity starting to rear its head again?
Well, I think the storage issue is nowhere near as bad as it was a few months ago when the May contract went into negative territory. And I don't mean that necessarily from where we are in terms of capacity, but I'm talking about the acceleration towards capacity, which is one of the things that really seemed to scare traders at that time. I think it's a much more managed now than it was back then. And I think the dramatic cuts which we saw from OPEC Plus, combined with the voluntary additional cuts that we saw in the US shale sector in Norway and elsewhere, I think that brought it far more back into control. And that's why OPEC Plus last month was able to agree to increase production, as you've already alluded to, mm-hmm. in August in a way that didn't shock the market, that just enabled it to stabilize.
While we are looking at that global oil demand, Craig, some spotlight being put on China's dependence on crude oil imports. And this, of course, as domestic production faltered in the first half of this year, 73.4% of its oil demand was covered by imports in particular. And many putting the spotlight on it because it's at a time when its relations with the U.S., of course, is deteriorating. How important or pertinent is that in this entire equation?
I mean, it's obviously incredibly important. China is an enormous consumer of crude oil. So activity there, growth in the country, relations with the US and others is going to be critically important. And it's not just the US. This is the headline. The relations between Beijing and Washington is the headline. But we're also seeing hostilities ramped up towards the UK, which obviously isn't an oil producer, but also with Canada previously. And there is scope for that to extend elsewhere. I think China is always going to have other places to turn to, so I don't think there's going to be major concerns from that perspective. But in terms of just pure demand, China growing at a high rate and continuing its development is going to be important as far as oil demand, oil producers are concerned, if they want to see the kind of demand increases that they are anticipating over the course of the next 10 to 20 years. As I say, the biggest risk here is going to be the move towards greener energy. And there's a lot of people who've been saying in the last few months that one of the things which is going to be accelerated as a result of this pandemic is going to be the move and the desire to see investment in greener energy, and that will potentially impact peak oil, whenever that would have occurred, whether that was 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it is going to have an impact. So that's probably going to be a greater influence in terms of many of these producers than things like the relations between the US and China.
Craig, before I let you go, any views on BP? It was out with earnings today, and we saw almost every part of BP's business being hit hard, except the oil trading division. And with that, it says that it's going to reinvent its strategy moving forward, when it comes to its approach to energy sources, that it won't be exploring for oil in new countries. It's going to be focusing on reducing its oil and gas exposure and refining its portfolio. How does that potentially start to skew the market, if at all?
I'm not necessarily sure it's going to start to skew the market per se. I think that this is a strategy which they were already embarking on. I don't think as I've already alluded to, I don't think we're necessarily seeing anything new here. We're just seeing an acceleration of a strategy that already existed. From an investor standpoint, I think the biggest impact from BP and other major oil producers is in terms of things like the dividend. These have always been re reliable dividend payers, and you saw BP followed suit of some of its counterparts in reducing its dividend by, I think, around 50%. And we've seen similar actions taken elsewhere. That's the type of thing that I think is going to dent potentially investor appetite to a greater extent in the near term for many of these companies because they've been such reliable dividend payers in the past.
Let's leave it there, Craig. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Craig Earlham, who's a senior market analyst at Oanda.